Blog Talk Radio.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge, mini episode number 610. It's your favorite football talkers in all the universe, FDH Lounge dignitaries Rick Morris and Kyle Ross. We are coming at you for NFL Week 4 to break it all down. It is a bye week for New England and for Tennessee, the first of the bye weeks this season. Last week, I was 7-9 overall, 1-2 on my big three, 0-1 overall. The funny thing is, if you just look at my sheet of paper that I had the games written down on, I lost seven in a row. I got massacred in the 1 o'clock. So 7-9 barely seems fathomable. And for a slate that I hated as much as I did, I hate this slate too. So I'll take that if it goes that way again this time around. Still profitable for the year, 26-21-1 overall on my picks, 5-4 on my big three, 1-2 on my lock picks. Kyle 4-2 last week, 11-7 for the season. Going very well through 3 weeks, Kyle.
Yeah, and 12-6 would have sounded so much better. That's what we were had at least a chance of going into Monday night. And it's really funny. I didn't text you at all on Monday night, but I definitely thought about it many times. then it occurred to me, and I just wanted to save this for the show. It occurred to me that when it comes to our texting etiquette during football games in regards to our bets, like our politics, we are on complete opposite ends of the spectrum. You love to text mid-game saying, oh, yep, this one's going right, this one's going right, you know, like right before the Steelers backdoor the public right up the poop chute. And I, on the other hand, love to text about 5 minutes into a game saying, this one's over. I lost. Mark, and I felt that way with the Chiefs on Monday night. It appeared that they were allergic to tackling Aaron Rodgers, a very good football player, this just in. So, could have been 67%, which would have been great, but I'll take 11-7 anyway through 3 weeks. Unlike you, I kind of really like this card. I think it's built for someone who likes to play games like I do, where you gravitate towards maybe some of the uglier home dogs that no one else wants to touch. There are plenty of opportunities to do that this week, and I will be reaching out and grabbing many of them in a spoiler alert.
Well, you know, and it's not just the Patriots that get backdoored in prime time or in football these days here. I've actually thus far with one of my fantasy teams had to suffer the indignity of a tie right now. So while the Rand Paul Revolution is still undefeated, it's 2-0-1 at this point in time. So it happens to the best of us, I have to say.
Unbeaten. Has the Rand Paul Revolution gotten on the field yet? Is my question. Have they been out there?
It's early. Why don't you ask Trevor and Herman Cain about how important September or October of the year before the election is, my friend?
Herman Cain. By the way, I thought of a joke. I want to say that. Can I ask you a question? You're more plugged into this than I am. You know all these Republicans a lot better than I do.
Yes.
Is there any truth to the rumor that Ben Carson was the kid from WrestleWar 90? No one knows that. Who cares? Who cares? Who cares that we lost everyone on that? That means a lot to you and me.
I'm sure they'll shrug it off and keep going with us. Well, as long as we're making references here, the reference that I will make as we get into our Week 4 slate, I'm just going to borrow one just because right before the show here I was watching a little bit of the league. So I'll borrow a reference from that. Everybody can now kick back with a nice tall glass of three penis wine and enjoy the rest of the show here. We start with NFL Week 4, a quintessential league reference. On Thursday night, it's the 0-3 Ravens at the 2-1 Steelers, 8:25 Eastern time from Heinz Field in Pittsburgh on CBS and the NFL Network. You got Nance, Sims, Wolfson on the call. This is a game where Baltimore is laying 2.5, had been 2 initially. This is one where, and I may be outthinking myself a little bit here, this was a borderline recommended pick for me in terms of looking at this. You got the old squealers here without Roethlisberger this week. I do not see the Ravens going 0-4. Of course, I didn't see them going 0-3. And I'm just looking at this, and I'm on the Ravens, and the only reason it's not a recommendation is because I talked myself out of it. There's little, I think, to recommend Pittsburgh, you know, just 3 days off of three off days in between Roethlisberger's injury and having to go with Michael Vick circa 2015 on a Thursday night. I know the Ravens' defense is not much to sneeze about these days, but I'm still on Baltimore in this one because, you know what, it's a quarterback-driven league at the end of the day. Flacco v. Vick, enough said.
Yeah, I'm with you a lot here. I almost wanted to give this out too. The issue, I'm not, just a spoiler alert, but the issue is usually an 0-3 team, there's a lot of value with that team because the public's given up on them. That's not really the case here with Baltimore, the very rare 0-3 road favorite. You just do not see that often. You hit the nail on the head. The reason for it is the Roethlisberger injury. I, like you, not expecting much from Mike Vick here at all. The short week does him no favors. Not to mention, this is his first year in the offense. I mean, it's not like Mike Vick's been with the Steelers for a couple of years. I mean, this is a really bad spot. And I think you and I could both be kind of kicking ourselves for chickening out on not going bigger on the Ravens here. They should pick up their first win. This is a team who easily could be 3-0. To be honest with you, and I'll just say this, I'm not giving up on the Ravens at 0-3. I know that history is not kind to 0-3 teams when it comes to making the playoffs. If Pittsburgh regresses like they already probably would have with Roethlisberger, even to a further degree now that he's hurt for the next month, month and a half, Browns stink. Do not be surprised if in Week 17, mark it down now, sports fans, that Ravens-Bengals game winds up being for the division. I know it sounds crazy now, but I'm telling you, I'm not giving up on the Ravens yet. They easily could have won all three of those games.
Here's the funny thing. You and I haven't talked about this off air, but I'm with you on this with Baltimore to a qualified extent. And again, being from Cleveland, I got no love for the Ravens, but I do agree with you if I'm just looking at it with my head here. I'm ready to give the division to Cincinnati. I think they have it at this point in time, but I think the last wild card spot and or the AFC South winner could be 8-8. I think we are going to have a clog in the middle this year like you haven't seen in some time. There's about three teams that I'm ready to put in the playoffs. There's about three teams that I'm ready to rule out of the playoffs, and everybody else is fair game. The Ravens are not one of the teams I'm ruling out of the playoffs. The Browns at 1-2 are. So
yeah,
I agree
remember,
with you
Ricky,
on that.
Ricky, remember one thing, too. We talked about this preseason that the AFC last year, the distribution of wins was rather top-heavy. There was no middle.
Yes.
You know, kind of like Rick Morris's America. There's no middle anymore. But,
nice.
But this year, we both, I think, were on the same page when we called for a more even distribution. There weren't a lot of teams kind of like 7-9, 8-8 last year. There were a couple 9-7s, I guess. I guess Buffalo and Houston both were 9-7 and didn't actually make the playoffs. But nevertheless, I'm kind of with you that whoever gets the last wild card in the AFC could be a pretty fugly team this year because every team except New England has flaws in this conference.
I agree. I agree. And I think the Ravens are going to be in it. One team that is probably not going to be in it as we move to Sunday, we're skipping over the London game because that's going to be one of my big three we talk about at the end here. We go to the 1-2 Jaguars, a team that I think we can all go out of the playoffs right now, at the 1-2 Colts. Sunday, 1 o'clock, Lucas Oil Stadium in Indy on CBS. Tom McCarthy, Adam Archuleta on the call. This is one where the Colts are laying 8.5, and that's been a pretty steady number throughout the week. As I glimpse at this one here, again, I expected more out of the Jags last week. I think there were a couple of games where I really, really underestimated the difference of depth between the squads there. I thought the Jaguars would at least be able to backdoor a cover against the Patriots, and I think the magnitude of the ass whooping that they took is very instructive. But still, I had a tough time with this one. I kept going back and forth. But again, I am a big regression to the mean / progression to the mean guy. And through three games, as horrific as Andrew Luck has looked for most of them, I think, again, and I think even you as somebody who picked the Colts to go to the Super Bowl would agree, the overall talent
like that
on that team
anymore.
The overall talent on that team is a lot worse than most people thought coming into the season. But Andrew Luck is still Andrew Luck. And at the end of the day, he's going to start looking a little more like it. I have a feeling in this game he looks more like Adam Luck, and if he does, they cover the 8.5. Give me the Colts.
I really wanted to take the Jaguars coming into this week, but they're not getting enough points, Ricky. You want to talk about regression to the mean? The Colts win close again last week? I mean, what is that record now? It's like 18-2 or 19-2 or 20-2.
Right.
It's something ridiculous in games decided by 7 points or less with Andrew Luck. When are those? You talk about when are those going to start going the other way? I can't see him winning close again. So that's another reason why I don't want to play Jacksonville. But I can't take the Colts have been really bad. And, again, from the regression department, this was the best spread team in the league last year in Indianapolis. So regression's got a hold of them already with the 0-3 ATS start. Not interested in this one at all. The Indy and under parlay has been quite profitable during Andrew Luck's tenure here, by the way, cashing 5 out of the 6 meetings, I do believe. So it's kind of odd because they're usually favored, and then the under's hitting too. So you can do the math that Jacksonville has not been scoring a lot of points. I think the under's cashed 8 of the last 9 meetings between these two. That predates Luck's tenure, obviously. And then the Colts have never – I don't think they've lost. Maybe they lost the first time now that I think about it. I think they did. I think they did lose the very first time Luck played him in his rookie year. But so still, there you have it.
All right. Well, very interesting, Clones. A long track record here with Andrew Luck and hitting that combo. So we'll see if that continues. Up next, one of the really toughest games, I think a tough slate to pick this week. The 1-2 Giants at the 2-1 Bills. Of course, the Giants are out to avenge Super Bowl 25. We will not be having Whitney Houston singing the national anthem this time.
The Bills are looking to avenge it.
I'm sorry, the Bills are. I got that.
That was the infamous Scott Norwood game.
Yes, it was. Scott Norwood may be singing the national anthem this week. We have 5-time lounge guest Kenny Albert on the call, along with Daryl Moose Johnston and the lovely Tandalora Oakman roaming the sidelines here. This is a game where the Bills are laying 6 here at home on Fox. And, again, I kind of kept going back and forth. On this one here, the Giants defensively, not much to write home about the way that they've been playing thus far this year. Offensively, especially in the last game, they really started to get it going, although closing was really their biggest issue through the first 2 weeks here. As I look at this, the determinant in my mind is just, I think the Giants have kind of struggled a little bit with balance. The running game has been kind of soft for them thus far. I don't see it improving against this Bills front 7. I think they're going to be a little bit predictable again. Eli Manning has kind of gotten away with it, not been the usual turnover machine that he's been in September the last couple of years. Again, regression to the meantime. I think we're due for a little bit more turnover Eli, and that's going to be painful. Give me the Bills. They'll cover the 6 and maybe comfortably.
This is almost a borderline why ask why to me. We talked about that last week with Houston and Tampa, right?
Right.
Where I look at this, and I'm shocked at the public perception, because the line has held pretty steady all week. Actually, it looks like slightly more people are taking the Giants in this game than Buffalo.
Okay.
But it's pretty much even. It's pretty much evenly split. I'm with you. I kind of am inclined to go with the Bills, but... You know, I mean, as you know, I picked the Giants to win the NFC, so I was dead wrong on Buffalo. I thought the market underpriced Miami last week against Buffalo. You saw where that got me. And I'm kind of just trepidatious here that the Bills could really be this much better than the Giants. I'm staying away here. I promise I'm going to start giving out a lot of games here in a minute. I really do. But I'm staying away here. But I'll say this, the Giants do lose this game. Like the Ravens, still not giving up on them at 1-3. I really think that NFC East is as wide open as any division in the sport.
Well, it's a time for panic moves when things start off bad. You saw when Seattle started off 0-2, Cam Chancellor reported. So, you know, if the Giants go to 1-3, and what do we extrapolate? Does JPP get his finger back? I mean, I don't exactly know what the analog is when we look at this.
Well, I think that, first of all, you look, I mean, they're like the Ravens. They could have won their first two games. I mean, the Giants could be 3-0,
that's right,
to be honest with you.
Right.
I mean, they've had a double-digit lead in all three games. They played well.
Offensively, they played well.
Yeah. I mean, the defense still has its warts for sure. I think it's just a case of them putting four quarters together. I mean, even in the win last week against Washington, they gave up that ridiculous kick return for a touchdown
right.
that made the game way closer than it needed to be.
Yep. That's been the issue with them. They've had ongoing problems throughout the season, as has been the case for the home team in our next game here. It's the 3-0 Panthers at the 1-2 Bucks. 1 o'clock Eastern Time, Sunday, Raymond James Stadium in Tampa on Fox. Chris Myers, Rondé Barber, and past lounge guest Jennifer Hale on the call for this one. This is a game where Carolina is laying a flat 3 points on the road. It's been pretty steady throughout the course of the week. When I come up with a nugget here, and, of course, I always find what's going on with the announcers. I always give credit here to USA Today Sports Weekly. Once in a while, there will be some things that jump out at me. I will make a note of it and credit them. That was also the case for the next game here as well. But for this one here, I'm looking at this. Cam Newton, 2-7 as a starter when he passes for at least 300 yards. Now, he got his second win last week. So I'm looking at this going, you know, if he has to do that, it's probably not going to be very advantageous for them. But I don't think it's going to be necessary for him to get 300 yards. He's got a very good record, conversely, in games where he's been under 300, and I think that's going to be the case here. I think Tampa Bay is still struggling to find their footing a little bit. The Panthers, again, you know, I can't believe I'm going to pick a team where I say they're one of the worst 3-0 teams I've seen in a while, but hey, the schedule is the schedule, and they're playing another, you know, dog-esque team just like they faced the first 3 weeks. Give me the Panthers laying a 3 on the road.
Wow, I teased this last week, if you remember, Ricky. I'm all over Tampa Bay in this one.
Okay.
This is one where the public bet. This is one where, you know, I hope that the way I play games, and I think it's pretty sound strategy, gets reaffirmed here. Everybody's on the Panthers here, but the line has not moved 1 inch. That's always an interesting sign. Tampa Bay has got to win a home game sooner or later, right? They didn't win any last year. They got blown out by Tennessee in their first one this year. And Carolina is just due to drop a game, for God's sake. I mean, you mentioned the schedule is the schedule, but theirs hasn't been very impressive. They've beaten who? Jacksonville?
Jacksonville, Houston, New Orleans, yeah.
Yeah, and New Orleans with no Breeze. And
right.
They haven't been really dominating. You got to think, I mean, there's still 7-3-0 teams in this league. You got to think some of these teams are going to start dropping games. And I just think it's Tampa Bay's time. Tampa Bay, they were outgained quite considerably by Houston last week, but they had a chance in that game. Their field goal kicker missed a couple makeable kicks, and that really cost them. I think Tampa Bay gets its record back to 500 here. I think they're going to win outright.
Very interesting.
This is a recommendation. This is my first recommendation of the week, by the way. I love this game. I was very happy when Carolina got the win last week. It preserved it. I really, really like this game. Could be my NFC South game of the year.
All right. Well, and just to clarify a little bit on my point about the 300 yards, because I think I left that off about halfway through. The Bucs have been kind of soft against the run this year. I'm looking for Jonathan Stewart to be able to establish the run a little bit more, give them the balance to where Newton's not going to have to go to 300 yards. So that was sort of the other half of my point here. We'll see how that one plays out. Up next, it is maybe it's your NFC North. NFC East game of the year. Who knows? It's the one. I doubt it though. It's the 1-2 Eagles at the 1-2 Redskins. 1 o'clock.
Oh,
Eastern
you know better than me to doubt this. You know better than me to doubt this.
On Fox, you've got Kevin Burkhardt, John Lynch, and the delicious Pam Oliver on the call here. And this is a game where the Eagles are laying 3 on the road. Initially, this was a game where I almost thought it was a why ask why, because I thought it was a big overreaction to have the Eagles be favored after looking like absolute crap the first 2 weeks. typical short memory of the public. And then I started looking at it, and then, okay, you know, statistically, you know, the Eagles through three games, they were a little more stout against the run than I had thought, and I'm looking at this. But, again, I keep coming back to it at the end of the day. Two teams that still have, at this point, I'd say iffy passing games. Redskins have got the better running game. Neither team thus far is that movable against the run. But give me the team with a better running game and a team where both the passing games right now are suspect. And suspect is probably kind in the case of the Redskins. The Eagles always have the chance to come back from that. As you know, I'm a believer in Sam Bradford, but he hasn't shown it thus far this year. As such, give me the team with a better rushing game in this battle. Give me Washington getting the 3 at home.
Sam Bradford hasn't shown it to me any year, quite frankly. I was on Philadelphia last week, despite, you know, I think what, you know, the way that a lot of people viewed that matchup with the Jets, certainly on paper, didn't look very advantageous whatsoever. But I'm not one to crow over a win like that. I'm one to simply point out what happened. They got lucky, and that's kind of what I thought might happen. In the win last week, 24-17 against the Jets, they were shut out in the second half, and they only gained 231 total yards of offense. They were very lucky to be +3 in turnovers. They got a punt return for a touchdown from Sproles. Washington working on an extended week here at home. Again, public all over the short road favorite. Give me Washington is my second recommendation of the week. I don't like this one as much as Tampa, and there's another one, believe it or not, another short home dog, which will stun you, that I like even more than Washington. But I do like Washington nonetheless here. I'm just not very impressed with what I've seen from the Eagles at all this year.
Well, I know from talking to you off air, we're coming up on that next one. It's the 2-1 Raiders at the 0-3 Bears. Greg Dumbel, Trent Green, Jamie Erdahl on the call, 1 o'clock Soldier Field on CBS, 1 o'clock Eastern time, that is. This is a game where Oakland is laying points on the road. Oakland is laying 2.5 at Chicago. Okay, beat the Brownies last week. Prove me wrong on that. But, again, second game, okay, not necessarily Eastern time zone, but still. That's two time zones, according to my rudimentary grasp of math. So they're doing a lot of traveling here. And the Raiders at this point in time, again, all the talent that people are crowing over is still very young talent. I said at the beginning of the year, and you didn't necessarily agree with me, but I thought they had a chance to be, I think, maybe a 6-win team, that they were going to be a little better than people thought. But you know what?
I said 5.
Everybody said 5. You said 5. Okay. Everybody's gotten way ahead of themselves. Okay. It just slow your roll on the Raiders, people. The Bears, I have trouble making an affirmative case for them, but I have more trouble making a case for the Raiders. Give me the 2.5 and the Bears.
Yeah, and this one's going to be 3. There's a lot of 3s already in the afternoon. I mean, this one's going to move to flat 3, and then in that case, I love this even more. I know the Chicago Bears right now are the laughingstock of the NFL. They're trading people. They pumped it at the end of every possession last week against the Seahawks. But, Ricky, I know that in the last 8 years you've questioned this country quite a few times, and right now I'm questioning – a place where the Oakland Raiders are a road favorite.
Hell of a segue.
Yes. The Raiders haven't been favored, period, since 2013. They have not been favored on the road since 2012. They had lost 19 of 20 road games before last week. All they did was beat the Browns, who I believe are the worst team in the league. I think the Browns are actually worse than the Bears. I would absolutely grab the 3 right now because there's always a chance Jay Cutler could play. And if Cutler does play, the line will probably move a little bit. But even if Jimmy Clausen's got to go here, I think Alshon Jeffrey, the word is he's going to be back. And I cannot see Oakland winning back-to-back road games at all. The Bears, like the Bucks, due to start winning some home games. John Fox gets off the schneid here. Third recommendation in a row. Third ugly home dog in a row. Give me the Bears.
Could be David Fales instead. You don't know about that. A guy with a aptly named visage for a quarterback
David, A San Jose State boy. San Jose State. They treated me real well in the shank of the evening Saturday night last week, beating up on Fresno State. That was a big play for me, Rick.
They certainly did. And I tell you, again, I like to consider myself a master of segues in the FBH lounge, but you comparing the public perception of Oakland to my perception of Obama's America is one of the finer segues I've heard in a long time. I have to tell you, my hat's off to you, sir, for that one. That was very, very well played.
I thought about it on Monday, to be honest with you. I came up with it two days ago, and I wrote it down. Yeah, it was so good.
Bro, spontaneity is overrated, man. When you come up with something good, you just sit on it. That's the key to everything here. I'll try my hand at a segue. A team that has not fared as well as your segue did, the 1-2 Texans at the 3-0 Falcons, 1 o'clock Eastern time from the Georgia Dome in Atlanta. On CBS, Kevin Harlan, Rich Gannon on the call, 1 o'clock again Eastern time for this one. And this is a line where Atlanta is laying 6 up from 5.5 initially. Welcome to the land of public respect, Atlanta Falcons. I think we both thought after last year it might be quite a while before we saw them laying these kind of lines, even the bad teams at home. But the day has come. Dan Quinn, who I have long touted, has done a very, very good job with the turnaround thus far in Atlanta. But as I'm looking at this again, the current pace, I mean, this is sort of like what you hear. You get the Tuffy Rhodes jokes in baseball, you know, like he hit the 3 home runs on opening day in 94. Well, you're starting to get the whole, you know, same at this pace jokes about Julio Jones. And that's been such a big part of what the Falcons have been able to do thus far and with the comebacks and everything. I don't think they're going to have to come back to beat Houston, but I have an odd kind of a sense that this could be a game where Houston can get in the back door, and that's what I'm looking for here. I think this is a scenario where the Falcons have just been on an incredible run with the comebacks, and if anything, the fact that they're not going to have to come back, it may be a little bit of a letdown once they get a lead, and I think that's what I'm looking for here. Again, the Texans, like the Bears, like some other teams, I have trouble making an affirmative case for, but I'm sort of more making an anti-case against the Falcons at this point. Riding as high as they are, give me the Falcons, give me the Texans getting the 6.5.
Yeah, and this one's heading for 7, but look, if you like Houston, wait for it to get to 7. I imagine it will by Sunday. Especially the way the public's betting the Falcons. The Falcons are another team that are just getting overwhelming public support this week. 84% currently of all bets on this game are on the home side. And it's easy to see why. They're 3-0, but it's dangerous. I would proceed with caution if you like Atlanta this week, Ricky. Yeah, I'm going to echo your sentiment. They've had to fight to get the 3-0. It's not been easy. It's not been like, you know, Arizona or Green Bay or New England, who have sort of dominated all three of their games. You know, Dan Quinn, for as much as we all want to, you know, laud his efforts here in the early going, his defense didn't look so good against Brandon Whedon in the first half of last week. They really did settle down in the second, dominated that game late. But, yeah, I'd be leery about laying this many points with the Falcons. But like you, I got nothing with the Texans. This team's going nowhere fast.
They are. I certainly agree with you on that. Up next, the 1-2 Chiefs at the 3-0. Bengals, 1 o'clock Eastern time on CBS at Paul Brown Stadium. Spiro Dita, Solomon Wilcox on the call. This is a game where the point spread has the Bengals laying 4 points. That's been kind of steady through the course of the week here. And as I said earlier, as I hinted at again, I am a believer in the Bengals this year, and I don't necessarily believe that they're necessarily going to be one and done in the playoffs. You're seeing what more weapons can do for Andy Dalton. Again, the defense looks like it's been better than it has the last couple of years. I think they're for real. I just have a really weird kind of feeling about this one because, again, it's dangerous to make picks off of the macro, but while I didn't have the Chiefs making the playoffs like you did, I said they weren't going to be that far off. I thought it was going to be sort of a coin flip between them and some of the teams that don't make it. It's a little bit of a sandwich game maybe for the Bengals. Coming off the big emotional win against Baltimore, they got Seattle next week. Everybody gets up for the Seahawks. This one at home could be a snoozer. I look for Kansas City to get in the back door or maybe win outright. Chiefs plus 4.
This is a huge game for Alex Smith. I was very pleased to hear Lewis Riddick after the Monday night game on ESPN entertain the notion that it may be Chase Daniel time. because Alex Smith is killing this offense, man. He just does not get the ball down the field. I know you can maybe look at the raw numbers after the fact last week and they look okay, but that's because of garbage time and how, you know, Green Bay kind of just let Kansas City do whatever in the fourth quarter. Alex Smith has not looked good here. There was a lot of concerns about him before the year that he might be the reason this team doesn't take the next step. And if the Chiefs were to lose here, I think the idea of turning to Daniel is very real. He looked very good in the preseason. I know the preseason is the preseason, but the Chiefs moved the ball a lot better when he was in there than they did when Smith was in there. Now, that all being said, I am not backing off my assertion the Chiefs can make the playoffs. That was just a very bad performance by their defense against Green Bay last week, arguably their worst in 2 years, if not longer. I think they bounce back. Again, these undefeated teams, some of them have to lose, right? And I'm not totally sold on Cincinnati, whose last two wins have been, you know, pretty close there. I mean, the Baltimore game was back and forth. Granted, they were up big early, but I'm taking the points here. Fourth recommendation with the Chiefs. But it is do-or-die time for Alex Smith.
All right. Up next in one of our seven remaining games, it's the 1-2 Rams at the 3-0 Cards, 4:25 Eastern Time, University of Phoenix Stadium in Glendale on Fox. Brenneman, Davis, Siragusa on the call. Cards laying 6.5 to the Rams. Again, talk about it with the Falcons. Public perception. Everybody's been jocking the Cards this week. My pick going into the season to win the NFC. At 6.5, are they jocking them a little bit too much? I don't know. The Rams kill me either way. So whatever I pick, it'll be the opposite of what happens. But give me the Rams to get under the 6.5. I think with Gurley in there, the offense will be more diversified.
I'll go quick because I kind of say I view this game the same way as you do. But I wouldn't be comfortable going with the Rams unless if this line crossed the magic number of 7. You saw last week, you know, you could have taken 30 and it wouldn't have mattered with San Francisco. St. Louis has really struggled to put points on the board the last 2 weeks. Arizona, hats off to them, a Bruce Arian hat perhaps, Ricky, for the 3-0 start. They've killed teams, but look at who those three teams are, and I don't think they're going to keep up scoring all these non-offensive touchdowns like they have been. That's not sustainable.
Exactly. That's totally not sustainable. Up next, this was one of the toughest ones I thought of the week. The 2-1 Vikings at the 3-0 Broncos, 4:25 Eastern Time at Mile High on Fox. Dick Stockton, David Beal, Christina Pink on the call. This is a game where the Broncos are laying 6.5. I went back and forth on this. I think the physicality of the Vikings front has the chance to give the Broncos a little bit of trouble. I would not be surprised if this ends up being a big statement win on the road for Teddy Bridgewater. He's still missing that through the course of his career. But you know me, I like the Vikings. But, again, I'll take the Vikings to get under the 6.5 here.
See, if I were to – there aren't many times that I would take a favorite. As you know, I don't give out a lot of favorites on the show. I'll give out a few, but I don't give out a ton. I would lean towards the favorite in this game. Minnesota doesn't beat the good teams. I've been harping on that all year. I'm not really that impressed by their 2-1 start at all. What I am impressed with, however, is this Broncos defense. I mean, I enjoy watching this group, and I think they're going to make life miserable for Bridgewater in this game. So proceed with caution, Purple People Eaters.
We'll see. It'll be a real test for him, and I think everybody will have to give him props if he comes out with a good game afterwards, no question. Sunday night, the 2-1 Cowboys at the 0-3 Saints, 8:30 Eastern Time on NBC. At the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, Collinsworth, Michaels, Tafoya on the call. Most sports books, as of the moment, are too cowardly to put lines out right now. They're inconveniencing
us.
Wait a minute, Ricky, we've got to
have a talk off air about you and your opinion of the sports books. Like, you do realize that you need to be on the sports book side, not the public side. There's a reason they're not putting the line out. It's because they don't know who the quarterback is.
All I care about is whether I'm inconvenienced, and I had to work hard to hunt down any semblance of a line here. The closest there seems to be
is Dallas. That's spoken like a good Rand Paul supporter.
Good Lord. And I am one. I see the Cowboys getting 4 in a couple of different precincts here, if you will. Give me the Cowboys getting the 4 because you take the quarterbacks out of the equation, as I expect the defense as well. And I like the rest of what the Cowboys have to offer right now better than what the Saints do. The Saints are just reeling. They are garbage. Give me the Cowboys in the four.
Well, first of all, we'll see what this line is when it actually comes out, because it, you know, I think that four is I think there is one offshore book that you can actually bet this game at currently. But I don't care what the line is, Rick Morris. I like the Saints to get off the schneid at home.
Wow.
They're just like, they're like the Bears and the Bucks. They got to keep winning games. I have no confidence in Brandon Weeden. Remember, the Cowboys are without a ton of weapons here. I know they started out fast against Atlanta this week, but I mean, doesn't New Orleans and the Dome still mean something at night? I can see them getting up for this one. I don't think it's going to be a great year for them by any means, but I like the Saints here on Sunday night. That's a recommendation.
I think this game is going to be the lowest point for the Saints since Katrina, but we'll see how it plays out.
It's completely uncalled for.
I meant to say at the Superdome, but I bungled my punchline there, as I want to do sometimes. The Monday night game, it's the 0-3 Lions at the 1-2 Seahawks. 8:30 Eastern Time, CenturyLink Field on ESPN. Tirico, Gruden, Salters on the call. This is one where Seattle is laying 9.5. I am extraordinarily queasy with the side that I'm about to take in this one here.
Oh,
but again, another thing that I found out in USA Today Sports Weekly here, a notion here, I'm shocked at this. The Seahawks have beaten, over their last regular season games, one starting quarterback. They've been getting, late last year, beginning of this year, any wins that they've had, they've been getting fat off of backups. They're facing Matt Stafford here. And I understand that Stafford and the Vikings always a kind of a low ebb, but that number's got to mean something, doesn't it? I don't think there's any chance that Detroit wins the game, so it's always dangerous to take them to cover. But I think they're going to backdoor this one. I like the Lions. Even without Sue, they're better defensively than what they've shown thus far. They shouldn't be as big of a train wreck as they are. They'll show some semblance of pride. Seattle, even after what they did to Chicago, isn't good enough offensively right now to blow them out of the water. Give me the Lions and the 9.5.
Yeah, I would wait till Monday to bet this game because, you know, what happens inevitably with the Monday night game is, you know, people looking to recoup losses on Sunday. They always bet the favorites. This one across them and, you know, the 10-point line. And then I would absolutely take the Lions. I'm with you. Double-digit dogs. Came up empty last week, but you know I pretty much agree with everything you said. Detroit is a recommended play for me, even though I don't really like Matt Stafford much at all. So anymore,
recommended play. All right, number four for
they're
you
desperate.
There.
They're a desperate team.
They are indeed. We go into my big three here, and spoiler alert: I'm picking against my 1A and my 1A teams here this week. The first one up is at Wembley Stadium in London on CBS, 9:30 Eastern time, the 2-1 Jets versus, not at, the 1-2 Dolphins. This is a game where the Jets are weighing 2.5. I think I've seen it started out as a pick at one point earlier on here. Everything I said, all right, what I said about the Jets last week against the Eagles, and it looked very good on paper, it didn't hold true. But I'll tell you what does hold true on paper, and then this is sometimes dangerous. We talked about this before, similarities between Rex Ryan's old team and his new team defensively. And again, Miami coming off of that manhandling at the hands of the Buffalo D last week, I have no faith in them to handle this Jets defense this week here. The Jets let the game get away from them, Brandon Marshall, .. But it's going to be a different story, I think, on Sunday. Much as I would like it as a Dolphins fan not to be the case, I think the Jets cover the 2.5 and may not break a sweat doing it.
As a guy who believed in the Dolphins preseason, I wish I could make a case for him here, but I do not know if London is the right place for them to get off the mat. Only question here, I think, is if they lose, does Joe Philbin make the return flight from London? Because he right now, Joe Philbin, I think, has got to be your clubhouse leader and first coach to get fired, potentially, in this league. If this team doesn't make the playoffs, he is getting axed. And if it gets real ugly early in the season, he ain't making the season. I what a disappointment this team was last week. Stars and scrubs approach on defense will not get it done. I'm passing here. But I can't really disagree with anything you said.
Well, and not only that, I've never really been much of a Philbin guy. The signing of Sue,
no, he's not very good.
No. The signing of Sue, as people talked about, it's sort of Haynesworth-esque in terms of you sign a guy who's good at doing one thing and you put him in a system to where he's not really able to do that as much and not able to show it as much. So kind of a dumb signing of Sue. Three tackles, I think, through 3 weeks. Nice signing, Fish. So, yeah, I'm with you on all of that. One of the finer NFL tweets I've seen in a long time last week during the game from Daniel Tosh. He said, I will give away all of my earthly possessions if Joe Philbin gets in his car and drives away at halftime, never comes back. Clearly another frustrated Dolphins fan. I'm a frustrated Fish fan. I'm also a frustrated Browns fan, except I expected that coming into the year. The 1-2 Brownies at the 1-2 Chargers, 4:05. Eastern Time, Qualcomm Stadium in San Diego on CBS. Andrew Cantillon, Steve Tasker, and Steve Berline have been sentenced to the grim task of watching my Cleveland Browns and commenting on them for 3.5 hours. The Chargers are laying 7.5 in this one, up from 7. The chaos just continues with the Browns. Mm-hmm. You and I continue to disagree about whether they're just horrific underachievers or just horrific. I maintain that the skill level of this team, especially on paper, is better than that, especially, again, defensively. I think I saw a stat that no team has devoted a bigger portion of its salary cap to the defensive positions, and they continue to look like they have. I picked the Chargers to win the Super Bowl before the season. It's time for them to start showing it. I think they will. TMZ Sports continues to report on discord in the Browns locker room. I need no convincing. The Browns go out to the West Coast and get their asses handed to them. The Chargers minus the 7.5 Sunday.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at that. The only thing that's keeping me away, I almost actually did go with the favorite here. The only thing that's giving me pause is the more than one score thing. That's always kind of tough that, you know, you can always get backdoored that way. The Browns kind of unpredictable, you know, kind of when you count them out, they kind of give it the old college try and come up short. And San Diego hasn't looked great. Their offensive line, there's issues there as well. So that's going to keep me from recommending the Chargers, but I would not be surprised at all on Sunday afternoon if the Browns were being beaten senseless.
You are right that the Browns are sort of like the Rams mini-me as far as confounding expectations just to screw the gamblers. So you are right about that. They have that same kind of tendency. Nobody doesn't like the Rams, but God knows the Browns are close. My 1,000-star gold-plated lock of the millennium for NFL Week 4. It's the 3-0 Packers.
Awful
pick. 1-2 49ers. 4:25 Eastern Time, Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, home of WrestleMania 31. Buck Aikman and Aaron Andrews will be on the call to see. My lock picks go to 2-2 for the season. It is an 8.5-point line. Listen, I'm going to take a lesson from what we saw last week. San Francisco was a team that, again, a significantly worse team in the secondary and defensively than what Kansas City is. And you saw the way that Aaron Rodgers shredded them. I think one of the lessons of last week is some of the offenses in the league right now are just that good, and some of the defenses are just that bad. And I think you're overthinking it, Kyle Ross. I look for more of the fugliness in this game here. This ain't the NBA, where half the games during the regular season, the players are smoking blunts in the locker room because they don't care. There's
don't
only 16 games during a season.
They don't do that. That's a lie. They don't do
There's
that.
There's only 16 games here. So I think the Packers are going to make them count. I got the Packers laying the 8.5 here.
Who the hell would make an 8.5 point road favorite their top play of the week? That's awful.
It should
That's
be
awful.
More, Kyle Ross. It should
That's
be
awful.
More. It should be more. I've got them
awful.
There as my pick, along with the Jets and with San Diego. Of course, your picks for the week, Tampa Bay, Chicago, Washington, and Detroit. So I didn't miss any of yours, did I?
Yes.
Was
Kansas
there another
City.
One?
Kansas City
as well. Okay. All right. Yes. So those are your five for the week. We look forward to seeing how they're going to play out. There will be additional teams on the bye week.
I thought I had six. It's Tampa Bay, Chicago, Washington, Kansas City, New Orleans, Detroit. That's six.
New Orleans, okay. All right, New Orleans in there as well. That is one of your – that's right. I just failed to note that. At the time, I am going with Green Bay, San Diego, and the Jets. And, again – It should be another fine week of NFL football. And, again, as we move into the month of October, I look forward to a newly minted person with NFL Red Zone, which, by the way, changes your life. I look forward to seeing what it's like to watch your face breaking this all down in real time here as the season materializes.
Oh, yeah, I'll be on over one of these weeks here. Yeah, I look forward to that as well. I can openly mock all these road favorites right to your face.
We may need to put that on Periscope. We'll see. But in the meantime, everybody,